Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hey, y'all. This is Michael.
This is Keith.
Hey, today's show, we're going to be doing a little bit different approach on things. And we got a different direction that we're going to try to go with our podcast. And that's it's going to lead up to some things that, you know, we got planned in the future. And, you know, we keep praying to see which way God wants us to go with this podcast, because we want it done, you know, for His glory. So we've seen a lot of things, you know, through some of the guests that's come on and talked with us. You know, we've done our heritage. We know where, you know, our faith came from, and things that, you know, the good Lord has done for us. And I mean, I got some news a while ago that, you know, it was really, really emotional for me, exciting. I don't want to go into the details of it, but I'll tell you that he's working. He's working on people, but he's also using us to be a voice. He's making us strong enough to talk to these people and say what it is that the Holy Spirit puts on our heart to say. We can't be weak. Men, especially, you can't be weak. You got to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit and be able to say things that are on your heart. And say, in tough times, you got to be able to speak up. It might not feel right at the time, but He's prepared that moment. And, you know, there's been several changes, you know, with, like Jeff and Jeffers and David, me, things here at the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's been changes. He's built us up. You know, what other, I mean, besides Jeffers, Jeff and Jamie Vail, the church improving, you know, and David, you know, sharing things, you sharing things. I've shared things that I didn't think I'd ever be able to say, especially to a crowd. I know we only got but 17 followers and listeners, but, you know, it's, you know, I was not bold enough back in the day to do this. But today's guest, we started off, we were talking a while ago, and our journey started off a long time ago. But today's guest is Roger Ritchie. Roger and I used to work at the tractor place together, and so I want to welcome Roger.
I'm glad to be here.
Good deal. So we were talking a while ago. So I met you and your family how many years ago?
Mm-hmm. Probably about,
I think the boys were
18,
seven.
Almost 18 years ago.
Yeah, about 18 years ago, we were introduced. I coached his little brother, Brennan, with Coy's team. And, you know, over the years, that was one of the only families that agreed with my method of coaching, because I got on them. And, you know, Miss Ritchie and Mr. Ritchie, they always supported me in what I was trying to accomplish with them. And those boys grew up, and they, you know, made good athletes too. But Roger come to share his story today. And that's where our show is going to lead to.
Well, and what we're looking at is we've made two, I guess what we call seasons of podcasts. And we're kind of working outside now of our box.
Yeah.
of how we've done things. We're leading up to this men's Saturday. We've got a speaker coming from Texas. He's going to be on the podcast with us Wednesday night. He's a friend of Jeff Holloway. And the Lord laid it on my heart for us to call this "What's Your Story?" And I talked to Michael about it, and Michael texted me back and said, "Hey, why don't we do a new season. This will be the third one for podcast, and we'll call it What's Your Story, and we'll have different people on to share their story leading up. And I think it's going to go past November, but what we've got to be bold enough to do is share our story, the good, the bad, the ugly, because there's so many people out there that are going through things, and a lot of times I say the enemy tells us that it, you know, our story doesn't pertain.
Yeah, you're the only one.
You're the only one. Yeah,
that's far from true.
And what God's wanting us to do is share that to encourage, to build up, to edify Him, because it doesn't matter how bad our story is, when we realize that God was in the midst of it when it was bad, we start seeing where it turned around. And so that's going to be this next season of podcast. There's going to be different people coming on. David may not be on here so much because he's right now, he's busy. Yeah. He told me tonight, I got to work on the computer. Well, for those of you that don't know, that is not David's forte. He doesn't like to be behind a computer, but because of the events that have gone over the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's behind. And he said, hey, I got to work on that this evening. So David's not gone off, run off from us. He just said, hey, you know, when I got something else I need to share, I'll let y'all know. I said, hey, that's and there may come a time where I'm not on here or Michael's not on here. But what we're doing is we're understanding that God's got people coming on here that He's planning.
Right.
We're going to try to keep the synonymous podcasters, me and Michael or David, and to get on here to share these stories. But what we want y'all to know is that it's not anybody's pulling out. It's that God's using us in different directions.
Right.
So today we're starting off with Roger. I met him 2 years ago at the tractor place. And then come to find out there's a connection there that I didn't even know about. And what we found out is in all of these relationships that God has networked us. And after we start asking for prayer and all, we find out, wait a second, there's a connection here with so-and-so. Because they're asking about prayer for this person, and we didn't even know that it was the same person.
Right.
And we're like, wow, this is just amazing. So when Michael told me Roger wanted to come on, I said, let's do it. Let's go in this direction. So that's our story for how we're changing gears a little bit.
10-4. So, Roger, in this season, what's one of your favorite, or in your lifetime, what's your favorite verse?
I didn't know he was going to ask that. Put me on the spot. Let me see. I got one written down that it's written billion. It's really been on my mind. It's Isaiah 30:18. And I got my Bible right here. I'll read it.
What was we studying this morning?
What was your take on what we were studying this morning? Well, we got to church and we didn't have an air conditioner. So we had to switch gears a little bit and go to the back where it was cool.
Yeah.
And it was something simple. David had two capacitors at his house, and after church we put one in and we didn't even have to move to podcasting. It's cool in here now. And
I think, what you think about putting it on the back porch at the house? When it cools off a little bit.
Hey, that sounds like a winter to me.
Just a change of scenery.
Yeah.
I'm mistaken. That's not the right verse.
So I'm good at that. I put you on the spot.
Well, let me the version here. I don't like the way that one is worded.
Hi. We understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah, and a preacher actually preached on this morning, but I was in the book of Isaiah when God gave me something that he's never He's never late, and he's always on time.
Yeah.
The other day, and it was and something I was reading referenced a verse in Isaiah, but it's talking about going through adversities in life or hard times, and it says
suffering.
And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, let your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall be your teachers. Basically, what we when the Lord helps you through something, it don't mean it's going to be easy. And you're going to have adversities come up, difficulties, and in the last, I say, 2 months, man, it's just life's hit me hard. Got an eye injury where I thought I was going to end my career because I didn't know what was going to happen. But the way the Lord's worked in the last few weeks is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, the same thing that you just read about is exactly the kind of what we were going over. It was a different verse in Isaiah, but it was suffering.
Yeah.
And how we overcome things.
Well, and what we got to think about is everything that we read about Christ's life, he suffered.
Yeah.
He didn't have it easy. He didn't have it easy with his friends, the disciples. They created problems. But he overcame them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? To show us that we're going to come up against adversity. We're going to come up against trials. And what do we have to do? We have to trust on God to see us through them.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit.
We got to turn it over.
That's it. And it's when we turn it over, he's able to make something of it. If we don't turn it over, we can't expect him to do anything with it.
That's right.
So, you know, and he sent the Holy Spirit after Christ was gone as that helpmate.
Our guide
to get us through these situations that we come up against. But we can't expect everything to go like we plan, easy. Once you get saved, go ahead and hold on, buckle up, because things are going to come up that are going to be difficult. They're going to be tough, but he builds us up through those.
Right. So you came on to tell a story. What's your story?
Well, I can go a bunch of different ways with this, but I don't want to get too lengthy, but I'll just
probably got all the time in the world.
We'll just start off last November when I left a tractor company and went and did something that I thought was going to be good, but my mind was not in godly places. I was just thinking about the money. Now, I got to provide for my family, and I thought it was going to be good in the end, but all I was thinking about was the money, and it was a pay raise. That's all I was thinking about. And I went out there, and then within the first 2 months, I was so unhappy. I was working every other Saturday, and then there was some months I worked every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Didn't have no time with my friends, but my family. And felt exhausted all the time. Didn't stop going to church. Just didn't want to do anything when I was finally off on Sundays. I was just exhausted physically. And so fast forward, I've been starting in June and July, I was praying, saying, Lord, please get me out of this. I made a mistake going out there, but there was purpose for me to go out there also. But I wanted time with my family. And my grandmother, we went to eat lunch with her one day, and this was before my eye injury. She said, what did you do with all the extra money that you're making? I said, to be honest, nothing. I said, I haven't saved none of it. I didn't have insurance out there. I didn't have, like, there was no benefits. I didn't have no time off. Like, all the holidays, since it's a family-owned business, they don't give holidays, so we got to work those. And I wasn't really working that many hours, but the schedule of the hours was what was hurting me, because it was Saturdays, and then I'd have off on the Monday afterwards, but my kids are in school on Mondays, and I couldn't spend no time with them. So, but I felt like I'm praying about, hey, I need out of this. Lord, help me. But I never sat down and really listened to say, hey, where do you want me to go? And so I just kept on doing what I was doing. My dad taught me to work, and no matter what, you got hired to do a job, do your job. Don't complain about it. So I just kept working and working, and then July 28th, I went to work like a regular normal day and right before lunch. And I wasn't wearing my safety glasses like I should have been, and I was cutting on the bottom of a door, and a piece hit me in the eye. Come off of there and hit me in the eye, and right when it hit me in the eye, when I opened my eye, I could tell there was something different about, like, I've been a mechanic 12 years, I've been hit in the eye before, but this time it was like, wait a minute, this is blurry, something ain't right. So then I went on the rest of the day thinking it was going to be all right, finished work, then I went back to work the next day on that Saturday, and by lunchtime it was unbearable. I was like, I can't take this no more. So I went to Jessup. Sat there for 4 hours. They basically told me put some drops in it, and then I'll be good in 3 days. So I was like, okay. Well, Monday came around, it ain't no better, and I can't hold my eye open. And I was getting scared at this point, and I almost didn't call my eye doctor. My wife was like, you're going to call the eye doctor. Me being prideful as a man, I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
But about...
She'll straighten you out.
About 10 o'clock, she said, you're going to call the eye doctor. I was like, okay, I called him. They said, be there at 1 o'clock. And so I went and got an eye exam like I've done before. I've had glasses before. So I was like, everything was going good until the doctor said, wait a minute, let me go get the other doctor. I'm like, well, I think.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I sat there about 10 minutes. He come back in. He goes, she's going to look at your eye. It was the other doctor that's at that location in Waycross. She said, Mr. Ritchie, you got something in your eye, like in the middle. Foreign material. I said, well, I figured that since I can't hold my eye open really good. So they said, we're sending you to Brunswick right now. So we go down there, and I forgot to say this, I can't ask for a better brother. He took all work, the whole process of me, the 5 locations I went to, he took me there.
Yeah.
And God bless me with a younger brother that he'll charge hell with a water pistol for me.
Yeah.
So I thank God for him, and I wouldn't trade him for nothing. But he took off work to take me to Waycross, and then we went straight to Brunswick. They said, go down there as soon as possible. We tell him we're on the way. So we go down there, we sit in the waiting room, and it was already after closing. We were like one of the last ones to come in. They said, Mr. Ritchie, do you have insurance? I said, no, sir. He said, well, we can't do nothing for you. He said, so we're going to send you to Gainesville to the student college down there and see if they can do you. And then he told us, don't leave until they remove whatever's in your eye. And I'm like, well, it must be really bad. This whole time I ain't prayed about, please save my eye. I'm just going, like, I'm just, the way I am, I'm just go straight through life. Just keep on trucking.
He was handling it.
Yeah, he was handling it, but the whole time I ain't even asked him to save my eye.
You were handling it.
Yeah,
you
I was handling it. I wasn't letting him.
Turning it over.
Yeah, I wasn't turning it over to him. But so we go home because the doctor down there told me I need to get my eye drops. They don't want to get infected because if it did, there was no saving my eye. So we go home. Brennan's there waiting on us to drive us down there because my wife came down there after she got off work to Brunswick. So then at this point, I couldn't even hold my eye open, and I was riding around with my eyes closed. So we went down there, sat in the ER until like 4 in the morning. They released us, told us we schedule your surgery for Wednesday. Well, I didn't think I could make it to Wednesday because it hurt so bad. So we went back to Jacksonville to the place it's the same place that was in Brunswick, but we went to Jacksonville, and they told us to go to St. Vincent's. Well, he talked to the eye doctor over there at the retina institution, the one at the ER. He said, yep, you might as well wait till Wednesday because there's nothing we can do for any faster. So I went home, sat at the house for 2 days. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm like, my eye hurts, can't hold it open. Still ain't asked the Lord to take care of nothing. I'm just doing my own thing. So then we go, finally go down on Wednesday. Brennan takes us. We go down there, and they do the surgery, get to leave like right after, and now I'm out of work indefinitely. I don't know when I'm going back to work, but I know I don't want to go back to where I was at, because I don't want to get any details. There was some issues with me not wearing safety glasses, workman's comp and all that, and me taking off, and I just didn't want to, and I really didn't put no mind to it, and then I couldn't go to church, but I started praying, Lord, just, I finally started praying, Lord, just let me heal up so I can provide for my family, because as a man, that's our job, is to provide for our family, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to. I'm a little bit, it's sketchy right here.
Yeah.
So finally we went back, I had surgery on Wednesday. I had to go right back down there on the next Thursday, and they said, you're out of work until we release you. So you got an appointment next Tuesday, come back then, and we'll see with progress. They said, I could see it. When I had surgery, they taped it shut, and I said, it's kind of oxymoron. It's kind of eye-opener. When you get your eye taped shut and you can't see, you're like,
Yeah.
And then when she finally took that patch off my eye, I was like, hey, I can see. This is amazing. And it was really blurry, but that right then and there, I thank God. I was like, thank you for letting me be able to open my eye and see. Because for 3 or 4 days, we all thought that I wasn't going to have any vision in my eye. But fast forward to about a week before I got released, I had a couple more interviews. And I told the people I was going to come interview for them, and I did interview in Woodbine. It just didn't seem right to go down there to Woodbine. I said, that's something that is too much of a, like, it's not all about the money, but you still got to have enough to pay your bills. And I was like, I'm not at peace with that. So then I had another interview, and then I was in the parking lot, or I prayed that morning. I said, Lord, you lead me where you want me to go. I said, wherever you want me to go to work. I said, I don't want to go back to where I was at. So I prayed that, and when I was in the line to pick up my daughter, I got a text message from a friend I ain't heard from since I worked at Rush in like 2000, and I think it was 2020. I ain't heard from him since then. He said, are you interested in a job? I said, that ain't coincidence.
No.
So I texted him, yes, I will. And he said, well, here's the boss's number. Call him. And he wants to talk to you. So I said, called him. I had an interview the next day. Got up early, went over to Douglas. Was there at 8:30. About 8:45, I was walking out, and I had a job offer on the table. They just had to work out the money side of it. Basically walked in and had the job. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And it's Monday through Friday. And since then, I've been working. I got released to go to work the following week. So then, because I stepped out on faith, I didn't know I was going to get released or not. I said, I can start here, but that's a maybe. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm stepping out on faith that you're going to clear me to work and my eyes going to be better. And I accepted the job, and then I was able to go to work 2 weeks ago.
So you've had your job for 2 weeks now.
2 weeks.
Has he shown you why you're there?
Not yet, but I know there's a reason I'm there. And another thing I want to say is my wife's been asking me to go to church. And this whole time, when I've been working out there, I haven't been going to church. We're going to hit or miss every once in a while. And everybody says, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But, okay, well, somebody plays professional baseball. If they don't go to the batting cage and they only bat during the game, they're not really going to be that good. So if you don't go seek the Lord at church, then, because most of the time at the house you're kind of like, well, I got dishes to do, I got trash to take out, got the lawn to cut. You're gonna put the Bible on the back burner most of the time. So I told my wife, I said, when this happened, I told her after we got through it, and I said, because I couldn't go to church at first because all the lights, I was real sensitive to the light in my eye, and I had to wear sunglasses. I felt weird the first time we went after I got cleared because I had wore sunglasses inside the whole time. But I told them, all right, we started going, and about the second Sunday we started going back to church, Lord got a hold of me. He said, it's time. It's time to quit running.
Yeah.
And take off your running shoes and put your work boots on.
Yeah.
And I was telling you before when we was talking that the Lord has called me to spread his word. I don't know how to do it, or where to do it, but that's why I wanted to come on here, because this is a way I can spread what he's done in my life. And he did that in 2017, and I've been running from it ever since. Yeah. I did it for a little bit in Waycross. I was the youth leader over there, our youth director. And then when COVID hit, I kind of just dropped out of that and didn't want to do it anymore. And
there were other reasons.
Yeah, there's other reasons.
There's other reasons there. And I do want to talk about that a little bit, because it's something that goes on in a lot of church. You ain't got to say where it is or anything like that, but you had a story about you were teaching a class and you were at the end, and then somebody come in to take the kids out or.
That was at the, before I took the youth pastor position. I remember you're talking about now. So at a church before I took where I actually got called to preach or whatever the Lord lead me to do. On Wednesday nights, I was helping teach the college and careers class, because the person that had it was going under cancer treatment, so he had to take off for a while. And so while he was undoing all that, he asked me to teach his class. So then I accepted and I did that. And one night we got done earlier, and I went over there I had to talk to the youth pastor. And the parents were like, it's 8:30. We got to go in there. And I told them, I stood right there in front of the door and I told them, you're not going to interrupt this service. I said, there's souls in the balance right now. I said, somebody could be giving their life to Jesus right now. And if you bust in that door, that could be their last time.
Right.
What I've said about my story is, I was thinking about it when my time off is, what if this was the last time the Lord chased me to get my life back? Now, it says he leaves the 99 to find the one, but who says that this is not the last time he says, hey, you're called to do something?
Yeah.
So that kind of ties into that other story. Like, I stood there and told him, you're not interrupting, because God has no time.
Right.
My wife got saved at 2 a.m.
Right.
The girl that was standing there with me got saved at midnight at church camp. So there's no time limit on when God can work. It can be after a worship service. It don't have to be in the worship service.
That's right.
So.
And we don't have to. It ain't always going to happen in four walls either.
Mm-mm.
It ain't about convenience.
That's right.
You know.
How much are you willing to give to receive?
Right. And that's where we've got to make this shift from being convenience-oriented Christians,
yeah,
to being whatever the case may be Christians, you know, and saying, God, wherever you put me, whenever you put me there, I'm willing to be there. And you may stand around and look at one another the first few times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
He has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when we turn it over and say, God, it's out of my control. It's yours. You use me how you want to, and I'll do it. I only have a little bit to offer, but you got a lot more to offer than I do. That's when he takes us on and the challenge becomes real.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm hearing out of your story is you just saying, hey, I gotta let it go.
Yeah. Where you want me to go, that's what I was hearing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's my nature. I try to fix things a lot. I'm a fixer. I don't like letting other people fix it, but I don't like confrontation either. So if there's a possible way to fix it, I try to fix it. Sometimes when you're at the rock bottom, you just got to give it up. Say, yeah. Lord, it's yours. I can't do nothing else.
Yeah.
And back to what you were saying at the beginning of the podcast about our relationship, and you asked the question, what was the purpose of me being where I'm at now? And I don't know that yet, but God revealed that purpose while I was at Ace Equipment, because some stuff that went on in my life, and that'll be a whole nother podcast.
Go ahead.
Well, our relationship was started when Brennan was 5 and 6 years old.
Right.
Well, God knew the man of God you were going to be.
Way back then.
That's going to have to help me through my marital problems that I caused myself.
Right.
And then there was other people in the situation too that was helping, but God knew I was going to need you as my boss man at that one point in time when I crossed paths with you to help me through that. And I thank God for you, the man of God you are.
I'm thankful for him too, for putting words in my mouth, because, you know, and that's something I was talking about earlier, being obedient. Don't be scared to say what it is he lays on your heart to say. And I struggled with that, especially then, because I was, couple months out of surgery. Because your story where he told you to be still, or he closed your eyes, and once you had your surgery, he removed the scales, in other words, he removed the veil. Well, he removed the veil on me just a couple months before that.
Yeah.
You know, and when I had my surgery, he told me to be still, and I was listening, and I was, you know, went through the same stuff that you described, asking questions, trying to make sure that I was hearing things correctly and understanding things correctly. And I have Keith to thank for that, for answering a lot of questions.
Let's put it this way. He might have been on the couch and listening, but his fingers were texting a lot.
I was getting words every few hours. He was telling me, say this to somebody or say this.
And that was where it came to a point with me and Michael where we were talking so much, you know, that he realized through that process of being down, hey, wait a second, I got to do things a little different. And he began to do them, and as he began to do it different than what was his normal mode, and God started using him more. And the part about Roger's story was, so as a pastor, you get caught in the middle. And a lot of times you don't know you're in the middle. So I get a text from Michael or a phone call from Michael about what's going on with Roger.
Without names.
And then I get a phone call or a text from my sister that I didn't know who she was talking about, but she is working with his mama.
Roger's mama.
Roger's mama is my sister's parapro. And so I get this story. And I'm a little dense, okay? So all of a sudden, I think I was with Michael, and I said, well, wait a second. This is the same situation. And we're praying for it, and we've got all these people praying, and nobody knows who it is. And I really didn't know who it was. And then I just was able to piece it together, you know. And God showed us, hey, wait a second. The way y'all have been doing this, the way the church has been doing this for so long, is changing.
That's right.
And so then we started just, whoever needed prayer, we'll pray for it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a turning point, and it was it wasn't the best of circumstances for Michael, what he was going through, the surgery, the back problems that started
years ago.
Yeah, 25 plus years ago. But God said, I'm going to use this for my glory. I'm going to use this to show how I can be involved in lives.
Yeah.
Today.
And what the pastor said today at church, he said, do not waste the time in the valley, because that's where God can work the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can reveal, and he'll turn, see, the enemy, God allows, he don't do anything to anybody until God allows it.
Right.
But God will turn anything bad into something good, no matter what it is.
Yeah, definitely.
And one thing I wanted to say that is the story of Noah, where human nature, you can't tell me that Noah was inside there not worried about everybody outside.
Right.
But the only reason he couldn't open the door to save him is because he didn't close that door.
That's right.
God closed that door.
Right.
And what I want to do, what I'm striving to do, is God has closed a chapter in my life where I was at, and I don't want to try to force it back open. Mm-mm. And I'm walking through the door he has opened now.
That's right.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So,
and keep stepping. And to back up what you were saying about us praying for everybody, that's when we started sharing on Telegram.
Yeah.
Everybody in our group was praying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might have had 10 people in there.
Yeah.
What's it up to now?
It's
80?
Probably.
So, and Roger just joined, you know, a couple of weeks ago, about a couple of weeks ago. So, but that's what that's for, is so everybody knows who to pray for or what to pray for, what situation to pray for. So we're all on the same page, and we're not just, you know, praying for this, and it might be that we needed to be praying for that. You know,
that's it.
Because if you can identify exactly what you need to pray for, that's what we need to pray for.
Yeah, and the same thing almost in a different way happened this week. Over the weekend, we had two different people that posted the same prayer request from two different angles that were connected with the same person. And I didn't even know one of, and there's really a third angle that me and Elizabeth knew the person through somebody. And so we were sitting at home last night talking about it, and Liz Ann goes, that's so-and-so. And we said, yeah, he got burned. And this is how, you know, Andrea works with this person. And then I found out that this other person that requested it, there's a family connection there. And that just shows me that God's using this.
Yeah, he is.
For his glory.
Right.
I mean, and the way we couldn't make these stories up if we wanted to.
The connections.
Yeah, I know when my mom told me, she was over there, and your sister was talking about, pray for this family. They're going through a rough time. And I'll tell you part of the story. Like, I was 3 days in a row, I was supposed to go to the lawyer's office to sign papers. Like, it was already written in stone. I'm going. And my mama called me. She said, I got a blown tire. Can you come and fix it? I said, okay, I'm going to go over there. And I told my wife, I said, I got to go rescue my mama. She goes, that's fine. Go. Come back when you get done. So I left work, went over there, fixed the tire. And while I'm there, she's like, the lead teacher was telling them they're praying for somebody at their church. And they said so-and-so. And she said, Mike. And she goes, you're praying for my son. She goes, there's no way. There's no way. And she goes, yes, you are, because he's going – what you described is exactly what my son's going through right now. So I wasn't able to go to the lawyer's office that day, so I scheduled it 2 days later. So then my mom calls me again. Hey, my car broke down beside Harvey's. I was supposed to go that afternoon. I was supposed to leave work early to go that afternoon. And then so I go – tow her from Harvey's in the middle of the highway to the little Walmart. And so they get the tow truck, finish it up. So then I call the guy and say, I ain't going to make it today. I'm stuck in traffic pulling my mom. And so then we scheduled it for the next Monday. And I don't actually remember what happened this time, but there was a third thing. Wasn't able to make it. I said, Lord, this is you speaking to me. I said, I am not going to see that lawyer.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to give it to you and let you fix it. And I give God the glory for fixing my marriage, because it was in shambles because of my doing. Not, I can make excuses. It was this, that, and that. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader in my family, and I failed at that. And I'm not completely to where I need to be, but I'm way better than I was.
He can do it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You turn it over, he'll do it.
And it's amazing that, so my wife, she went on to her stepsister's wedding down in Florida. Before we left, we were at each other's throats. We couldn't be in the same room. She had already moved out and lived with her grandma. And I'm taking a lot of pride to talk about this in like specific details, and because I don't like sharing it, but like it was done. There's no fixing it. And then so when all this, while she was down there, she spent a weekend down there. That same weekend is when I went to fix the tires. She said, I already signed my part, you go do yours. So then so that Thursday I went and couldn't go to that day and whatever. So the Lord got a hold of me. I don't know why I was in the shower. It was in the shower. I was just bawling.
He was washing it.
And so I was bawling, saying, Lord, I need you to fix this. And then before the three times of fixing my mom's car and helping her, I was already praying the Lord to fix it. And then after the three times I gave it to him, I was praying, Lord, you fix it. So we was at each other's throats. We just didn't want to be around each other. My kids, they don't know what's going on. And when she come back, I was a whole totally different person. She said, I don't understand. It's like, before you hated me. You didn't want to be around me. And I told her, I said, you can believe it if you're not, but the Lord got a hold of me. And now we still arguing, but it ain't like it used to be. I can tell you that. Any marriage is not going to be perfect.
Right,
no
right.
arguments, but I'll tell you this, the Lord truly fixed my marriage. And one time before I asked him to fix it, and I don't say this is the reason why we got another close to being divorced, but somebody asked me one time after that time, they said, well, how'd you fix your marriage? I took credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, the Lord showed me. He said, okay.
yeah
I didn't tell him the truth. I told him I fixed it.
Pride.
But the Lord,
we're not supposed to have pride,
right?
And I just thank the Lord that he blessed me with a wife and the kids I have, and then now I have my weekends off like I want to, so I can spend it with them. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord's doing in my life, and I want his will for my life. And we have, like, as humans, we have personal stuff we want to do, but most of the time we just need to put that aside and say, Lord, what do you want?
And that's one of the things that I guess he's really, over the years, burned into me. You know, a lot of people take the scripture where it says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And they take it as whatever I want, he's going to give me. And what they fail to realize is he's way more capable than that. He's going to put desires into your heart that he has for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you follow those desires is when he really uses you to his potential.
That's right.
Not your potential.
Yeah.
And so being available, you know, and you got it right. Because it was that day when you went to work on that tire, my sister calls me and goes, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what are you talking about? And she started telling, and it finally hit. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. And I put it all together. But that's how God wants to work and network us together. And it's not about a church. It's not about a preacher. It's about following what God has for each one of us individually. And being on board to support everybody that we can.
That's in need for it.
Right.
And everybody's not called to do the same thing.
No.
Well,
no.
The only thing that we all are called to do is serve.
That's it. Right.
But everybody has their different things that they're called to do.
Their gifts.
Yes.
And the Lord is never going to waste the opportunity.
No.
So, see, are you nervous now?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't to start with.
Yeah.
He was worried.
Yeah.
Old big boy coming here with his knees shaking.
I wrote down like 3 pages of stuff, and I ain't even opened the book yet.
So, right.
It just...
Well, that's how we've seen this podcast work time after time after time, is it's God working through it. People are worried or scared or whatever, and what we want people to see is your story matters, and God's got you there for a reason. And then when they get in here, they start sharing.
Right.
And he starts opening doors. Yeah.
I told when he first asked me, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. But my other pastor friend that was helping me through my marriage, he was actually doing the marriage counseling for me. He said, I'm just going to tell you this. I'm not telling you to do it, not to do it. He said, your story might help somebody else that's going through the same thing or something like it.
Yeah.
So you never know where this is going to go. Reach out to you. And since I've reached, I don't like the word, I don't like the word rededicate.
Right.
It was used too much. Like, but I since I've resurrendered my life to the Lord, I like that word better. That the Lord has actually gave me a message that I've been trying to work on. I don't know where I'm going to share it, but I'm going to work on it. And I actually posted it on the Telegram. He's never late, and he's always on time.
Perfect.
That's because
perfect
I don't know how is it going to go, but I got some stuff written down from it. But when God leads me and opens the door, I'm going to go through it.
And that's awesome.
And it's awesome to have my wife on board. If every time I've done the church thing before, she really wasn't, she's kind of iffy about it. She's like, I don't know if I want to do that, but this time I feel like it's the Lord's will, because she wants to do stuff too.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is. And I know a door that'll be open whenever you get ready to share that other story that you got going on. And you want to talk about November?
November 18th, we really feel called to men. Jamie's been on here, Vale, Jeff, Holloway, David, me, Michael. We've been talking about this thing. And so we were looking at it, and we're going to start at 10:30 on the 18th. Jeff's bringing a tent, stage. We've got some other things. Jeff's friend from Texas is coming. And the podcast that we're calling it now, What's Your Story, that's what popped into my head. And I really feel like it's going to be an opportunity for people, men, to get up and share their story.
Share a testimony.
A testimony, kinda 5 minutes.
I mean, exactly what Roger did here.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just, I'm sure that's just one story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that you've seen. I know it's just one story.
Right. You know, but you know, get up 5 minutes. Jeff's going to speak a message. I've told him what my thoughts were on What's Your Story. So I don't know what he's bringing. I'm not telling him what to bring. But we're going to do that and give the men that are there the opportunity, and we're asking them to bring their sons, because we went to an event, and it, to me, It was not discouraging, but I was disappointed in the fact that there were a lot of men there, but there weren't a lot of sons.
There weren't a lot of kids.
And how do we expect to change the trajectory of our future if we're not willing to involve the ones behind us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was fortunate. My daddy put up a lot with me, losing tools and and dragging stuff through the woods and everything. But there came a point several years ago where we were doing stuff, and he looked at me and he said, "I can't keep up with you." And I turned around to him and I said, "Daddy, you ain't supposed to at this point." I said, "You're not supposed to keep up with me. You're supposed to do what you want to do, what you're capable of doing, and the rest I'll take care of." Here I am, you know, 38 years old. You're 74. That's what your job is now. Have fun.
Yeah.
Now, it scared me because he had the chainsaw in his hand, and it was the little one, but that was all he could run, and after that day, I went and got him a battery-powered one because I figured out. But that, how do we expect to get to a point where the next generation is ready to take on if we're not involving them through the process that we're going through?
Right.
And so that's where this came up, and then we're going to do an old-fashioned tent revival is what we're calling it, Saturday evening. The wives, kids, family, you know, we're going to call them back. Those that can come Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Jeff Gore from Texas is going to speak those times. But he's got to get back to Texas for Thanksgiving. His mama's in her 90s, and he's got to get back to her. But I said, you know, if Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, God's doing something, we're going to be right there under the tent, you know. But that's where we're feeling. It's not my job as the pastor to tell all the stories, you know. And that's where God's telling me, give the opportunity for stories to be shared.
Well, we want to inspire others.
Exactly.
To share their story, to relate to the next generations.
Yeah.
Hey, if you ever come up on this, here's what you need to do. You know, it's some kids don't have fathers to look up to, and that's something that we need to get into that.
Right.
What community, whatever, you know, it ain't just one community, it's all over our county, but we need to inspire them.
And one thing that, when he was talking about the event, the one thing the enemy don't want is godly men in the church.
Right.
Because if he can take the godly men out of the church, then there's no backbone for the churches.
Right.
And that's why a lot of churches are run by women now, because all the men have fallen off, and the women are running churches.
Yeah.
And that's one thing he the enemy attacks the most is the men of the church.
Right. And I got a challenge for everybody that's listening. Rumors always start about the negative things in people's lives. Why can't we start sharing stories of the positive things?
I see it.
That are happening in people's lives, so God will get the glory instead of the negativity getting the glory and the devil getting the glory. Let's talk about the positives and not the negatives.
Yep, that's pastor said that one time in a message. He said most everybody shares their testimony, focus on all the bad stuff they've done in their life, but they never focus on the change,
right?
Where
right.
God changed them, and then moving forward. Yeah, you can tell people you did all this stuff, but don't focus on that.
No.
Because that's just going to be a temptation for other people if you bring that up, bringing back memories in their head, all kind of stuff. So focus on what Jesus done for you.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That helped, because I was stuck in a spot in the story I'm preparing for that November event.
Yeah. And that's rumors.
Yeah.
Why? It's gossip. It's stories, but let's turn it.
And there's always going to be people in the group that's going to be like, well, congregation that's going to listen to your story. And the first thing, did you know so-and-so did this, and this back in the day?
Right.
And that's all they're there for is the gossip.
And then when it gets back to you, say, you know how they knew that? I told them.
I told them in the church.
It's okay. Yep. You know, it ain't something new.
That's right.
But that's what God's wanting to do through us. Yep. Is encourage, edify, build up one another. So that's, you know, we've got the opportunity to change the trajectory of where we're going by letting God take over and guide us in that direction.
That's right. He's pointed us in the right direction, and he's going to continue to guide us through.
That's right.
Talking about the trajectory, one thing that my marriage counselor, when I was going through that rough time, he spoke about was generational curses that happen, like the way, that's just the way I was raised.
Yeah.
Not saying that I have one, but I want my son to be better than me as a husband when he gets to that point. I want him to be more godly man than I am. And that's really powerful when you think about it, because that there's so many, and even with your daughters, if my daughter watches me treat my wife really bad, then that's what she's going to expect out of a man.
Yeah.
But if she treat my wife like a queen, like she's precious, then she's going to, somebody treats her bad when she starts dating, which probably won't be till she's 30. But anyways, but she sees somebody treating her bad, or somebody does, she's like, my daddy don't treat my mama that way. I'm not going to date you.
That's how I've raised mine. And I've told her, I want you to find somebody better than me. I'm not too many times we see people that are meeting the status quo. And so, you know, with my daughter, I've told her time and time again, you find somebody that's better than me. You know, and I've also told her, the best place to find them's in the church. You can go other places and look for somebody, but if you go to those places, are you going to find what God has in store for you there? There's a chance that, you know, but the chances are even better that you're not. Right. And you're going to go down a road that isn't going to be what God has for you. But if you can get into the church and serve in ministry at a young age and find somebody that has the passion that you do for what God's calling you to, you're more likely to find a godly mate that compliments you, and you go somewhere with them that takes a lot less time than if you have to get everything straightened out because you messed it up.
Yeah. Well, where are we at?
We're good. We're at an hour and 3 minutes.
Hey.
Yeah. Longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Roger thought he'd be done in 15 minutes.
15 minutes going back to the house.
Yeah.
No, but I just wanted to remind all the family members about the Bowen reunion. That's in Hoboken on September 17th.
That's it.
Sunday, September the 17th.
A week from next Sunday.
Yeah, not this next Sunday, but the next Sunday.
Technically, I'm in the Bowen family. My wife.
Well,
married in family is from the Bowen family.
Right.
So, Jolie and all them.
Yeah. We expect you to be there.
Yeah.
Kim poked over here.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So, anyway, bring a covered dish.
Finger foods, anything you can sop up with a biscuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just have a cover on them.
So, you want to lead us in prayer and get us out of here?
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time, sharing. We pray that you would inspire the words that have come forth to speak to somebody. We ask you to continue to bring glory to our wretched stories of how we've messed up, but that you have made something of it. You've turned our lives around. I ask you to be with us as we go out this week. Bless our paths to cross others that we can impact with your love, your kindness, your goodness. We just ask you to bless this podcast. Speak to people through it. Continue to allow me and Michael to come across paths with people that have a story to share. And we give them that opportunity because of you. We just ask you to cover us with health and healing and safety this week as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.